Okay, well, I was teaching you on the three faces of Jesus. I was teaching you on the three aspects of the work of the Holy Spirit. And what do you remember? Who knows the three aspects of the work of the Holy Spirit? When he comes, he will do three things. What are those three things?
He has three jobs, and they're all conviction jobs. So the Holy Spirit convicts. Holy Spirit convicts. Now, there's his job right there. Well, how does that relate to his other job of revealing? Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will reveal. Holy Spirit, reveal. What does the Holy Spirit reveal? All right, he's called the Spirit of Truth. What else? He reveals when he comes, he will speak of me. Doesn't it say that? He will speak of Jesus. Well, who is the truth? Jesus. So what's the Holy Spirit's job? To magnify Jesus. All right, now let's see if that agrees with his threefold work. You notice what he talks about all the time. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Does he talk about Father? No. Why doesn't he talk about Father? He is the Spirit of the Father. Why doesn't he talk about Father? This is important. Why doesn't the Holy Spirit talk about Father? Because Jesus is the image, what? Of the Father. And that's how you're going to get to know Father. If you know Jesus, you'll know my Father also. If you've seen Jesus, here, if he reveals Jesus, he says, he who has seen me has seen the Father. So that's how he reveals Father. Okay, so he reveals Father through Jesus to the believer. To the believer. Now, if there were another way, he would do it. But that's the only way. There is no other way. You cannot get to the Father. Jesus is the way. So you see, the Holy Spirit's work is very simple, isn't it? But now we can divide it further. Now we know his general work. This is his general work. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Simple. That's the whole job of the Holy Spirit. It's simple. Isn't it good to have one job? That's all he's got, is one job. But it has three aspects. To convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Now, don't take this like this was a course. Take this like this is your very life. Because if you understand these three words, you understand the whole of the Christian walk. You understand the whole of life. In this is the whole Bible. In this you can understand everything. These three words say everything. They say it all. There is no more. This is everything. If you would understand how important that we're living in the age right now, we live in the age of the Holy Spirit. We live in the age of the Holy Spirit. He is taking what is mine and declaring it to you. That's what we're living in. We're living in that age. This is the age of the Holy Spirit. What's he doing? He is preparing us. He is preparing us. Holy Spirit prepares. Holy Spirit prepares us. Prepares us for second coming. So, we're being prepared as a bride for the bridegroom. We're being prepared to live forever with the Lord. We're being perfected, aren't we? So we're being sanctified. So his job is to sanctify the justified. To sanctify the justified. Actually, the Holy Spirit also justifies the damned, the lost. So you go from damnation, this would be one, this would be two. I'm sorry, I reversed that. But the first thing is you go from damnation to justification, from justification to sanctification, from sanctification to glorification. So the Holy Spirit here, later, will be part of the glorification also when He leads us to glory. Leads us to glorification. He starts in this life, partially in this life, we see in a mirror dimly, partially in this life, see in a glass dimly, but then totally in the world to come. When we see God face to face. Now isn't that simple? You can see the entire work of the Holy Spirit there. So, let me read it. Let's see, I'm going to the Father, and no longer you behold me. Let's see, is that what I want? Yeah, verse about 13 or so. When but comes that one, the Spirit of truth, He will guide you into all the truth. All the truth. So He is going to guide us into all the truth. He's also called a comforter, a comforter. And that's in the Greek, para. Cleat, paraklesis, one who stands alongside to help, to guide, to comfort. And how does He do it? Easy. So simple to be a counselor, a comforter. He's a counselor. This is what a counselor does. He comforts. How does he comfort? He points to Jesus, points to Jesus, points to Jesus, points to Jesus, speaks of Jesus, speaks of Jesus, speaks of Jesus. So now we see how simple the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is the comforter because He talks of Jesus. If you want to comfort someone, what should you tell them? About Jesus. There's no other way to comfort anyone. Now, the only way you can really talk of Jesus is to use the Word. That's why the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus through the Word. You cannot understand the Word apart from the Holy Spirit, right? So the Holy Spirit also must enlighten us through the Word. Through the Word. Now He's the one, if you're going to read the Word, you can pray not to Jesus, but you can pray to the Holy Spirit. Of course, you can pray to Jesus, but if you want to understand the Word, say, Holy Spirit, guide me. Holy Spirit, this is one time you can pray to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't save you. You don't pray to the Holy Spirit, save me, you see. But you can pray to the Holy Spirit, guide me. Now see, that's a job that you don't want to pray to Father or Jesus, even though they can do that too. But you might as well talk to the one that they're going to use. This is His job. Holy Spirit, guide me. And He will. And you know what He'll do? He'll speak of Jesus, He'll reveal Jesus, Holy Spirit reveals, and Holy Spirit convicts, and this is how He will reveal Him. First He will reveal Him, He will reveal Jesus here to convict you of sin, reveal Jesus as light. I'm gonna put it this way, I'm gonna put both of His names here. Let's call it love light. Because Jesus' light is always loving, isn't it? It's never a harsh light. It's always a love light. I've never thought of this till now. So He reveals Jesus as your love light, which when you're in love and you're in the light of your beloved, everything that's not right comes out. But it comes out in the most wonderful way, doesn't it? because you're in the light of not a critic or a judge or an enemy, but of one who not only can expose you, who can expose you, but one who can cover you and help you, and one who can empower you and enable you. So it's good to be in the light of that one. This is the nature of love. You want to understand love? Here it is. These are the three aspects of love. Love is going to expose. No one who loves leaves a person alone. You're going to be exposed. You see? Love disciplines. Love has a law. Love has holiness. Love has righteousness. Love is not permissive. Love that's permissive is not love. So love has a law. This is where the law comes in. That's how he convicts of sin. The Ten Commandments here, little two tables here. He convicts us of sin. And so that's the first work of the Holy Spirit. Number one, you want to cooperate with the Holy Spirit? Start here. But he's going to be comforting, isn't he? He's going to reveal Jesus. He's not doing this to get you to take care of your sin. See, this is the mistake Christians make. If he reveals your sin, you think, oh, I've got to take care of that. I've got to do something about that. Well, then he hasn't revealed your sin yet. Because when he reveals your sin, you can't do anything about it. Because you reveal that you're a sinner and that you're not able to. Why? So he can magnify Jesus. Can't you see he's magnifying Jesus? All he wants you, he isn't interested in you getting rid of your sin. Did you realize that? That's not his job. He's interested in revealing Jesus, isn't he? Do you see the difference? Most Christians, as soon as they see the sin, they get horrified. I didn't do that. That isn't me. Surely that isn't me. I'm better than so-and-so or something. You know, they do all kinds of things. Justify it, get condemned by it, change their behavior, all kinds of things. You miss the point. The whole point of revealing sin is so that he can show you Jesus. But this will all take place, but it just takes place without you doing anything. Just get your eyes on Jesus. All he's going to do is reveal Jesus. So put your eyes on Jesus. Sin will come out. Don't be shocked. Don't be surprised. Of course the sin will come out because you are not Jesus. You are not like him. When he reveals Jesus as kind, you immediately have the thought, I'm not that kind. That's all it is. That's all conviction is. Gee, I'm not that kind. When he reveals Jesus as merciful, I'm not that merciful. That's all. That's all it is. It isn't, you know, it's just simply, you know, a stab that says, that's not me. I wish I were like that. I'm not like that. No, that's all. That's what conviction is, isn't it? Sometimes you weep. Sometimes you cry. Sometimes you laugh. Sometimes you just go, oh, that's all conviction. Do you understand? It doesn't have any particular emotional component. Sometimes I say, weep over your sins as though that was the only standard emotional way to do it. That's a theological way of talking. To say weep over your sins, it doesn't always mean you have to physically cry. Sometimes you laugh. Ah! You know, not like that, but, you know, something where you're just, I can't believe it. It's so funny. I have lived a lie for so many years. I thought, you know, and so all true teaching is going to be, all preaching and teaching and everything is going to be in line with comfort. Right? It's always going to be gospel. This is good news. This is the gospel age. It's good news. Everything is always going to be good news. If you ever hear anything to the contrary, it's not the Lord. You can never be condemned. If you're condemned, you have a total misunderstanding. Because condemnation is for the flesh, and the flesh has been killed. So you can't be condemned in your spirit. So if you're condemned, you're in the flesh. If you feel condemned, you're in the flesh. You just misunderstood. Even if somebody condemned you, you still don't receive it because that's just for the flesh. It doesn't bother me. Somebody condemns me, they can only affect my flesh, right? 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 Do you understand? You can't be condemned, ever. I mean, it's not, you know, you shouldn't be. You can't be unless you misunderstand, unless you don't know the basic gospel that there's a difference between your spirit and your soul. You know, that in your spirit there's no condemnation. Of course in the soul there is because there's still some flesh there. So if anybody picks it up, it's just your flesh. I mean, he's the only one that would care. Don't kill me, you know. He's going to put on the poor me act. Don't kill me, he'll put on the tough act. You know, whatever act he puts on, the flesh doesn't want to die. But that's all right. Jesus came to do that. He came to kill your flesh. But look, after he convicts of sin, then he convicts of righteousness. So the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus as love, mercy, or mercy love. So that's number two. First he's light love, or love light. Now he's mercy love, or love mercy. In other words, mercy is the unmerited favor of God for you. Just, you don't deserve it, because he just showed you that you were totally undeserving, because the law is be perfect and you weren't. Jesus was kind and you weren't as kind. You know, maybe you had some kind of kindness worked up, but he rejected it, said, no, it's not perfect. It has to be just like Jesus. He said, oh, that's not me. That's conviction. But then he says, that's all right, because me, the one who is kind, faithful, loving, and all those things, oh, I've already died for you. I've already paid for that. Oh, praise the Lord. That's simple. You see, you can't even feel morbid for about 3 minutes. You know, say, well, I'm going to feel bad for 4 or 5 minutes. That'll be a good thing. That's what some people feel. They feel they got to go to their room and think about it. Let me think about that for about a month. No, that's the greatest sin of all. Don't you see that's one of the greatest sins? That's one of the greatest sins of all, that you could pay for to do something about it. You can't do anything. I mean, then he hasn't really done this first job, if you think you can feel guilty about it. See, here's three things the devil tries to get us to do. Either to justify the sin, and say, well, I did it, but, you know, it's all right. Or to change my behavior. That's called legalism. It's just an outward legalistic behavior. I mean, when you're convicted of sin, you can't make a change. You don't have any ability to change behavior legalistically. That's one of the biggest religious tricks. Or to feel condemned. In other words, to beat myself, to hate myself, to put myself down, to accept rejection, feel condemned, to get under condemnation. Now you see, that's all the devil. If you do any of those things, you're listening to the enemy. But here's the thing to do here. Just look, that's all, and enjoy yourself. Look and enjoy yourself. Because he already told you in the beginning. Now remember, this is the Holy Spirit convicting people that are already justified. That's his first work here, is to justify the lost. Well, once you've been justified, you know God loves you just as you are. So that's why you can bear the light. You can bear it easily, because it doesn't hurt you. You know, he came with the gospel, with the good news. All right? So now, I don't do any of these things. One, two, three. I'm not going to justify my sin. I'm going to say, I'm not as kind as he was. Like the thief on the cross who said, we are condemned justly. Remember, he bawled the other guy out for saying, I want you to save us. And the other guy said to him, hey, shut up. He said, that guy didn't do anything wrong, but we are being condemned justly. Now, when you can say that, see, a lot of people don't want to say that. But when you can say, I deserve nothing but hell. I mean, there's no question about it. I'm not better than anybody else. I deserve the same fate as Hitler or anybody else. I deserve that. I am so abominable. I don't even know that I'm that bad, but I know. I just know. I've done a little bit, and all I do is be imperfect. That's it. You know, now, don't make up your own law. We're talking about the law of God. The law of God says one thing, perfect. That's all it says. It doesn't say pretty good, do the best you can. It doesn't say any of that stuff. It doesn't say if you've been better than others. It just, perfect. That's all. So if you're perfect, you got it made. How many have we got in here? Now, I mean, seriously, how many are perfect? Well, all right, you're talking theologically. But I mean, in the natural, in the flesh. None. There's not one that could say, I'm absolutely in the natural, in the flesh. In my first birth, perfect. No. Even after you're born again, your soul is never perfect. It cannot be. In other words, perfect doesn't mean just be perfect for one instant. Perfect means in the past, in the present, and in the future, I am always like Jesus. Because see, perfect doesn't mean last Thursday I wasn't, but I am today. That's not good enough. You have to be perfect all the time. It always has to be from the heart. You have to do the right thing with the right motive, with the right, you know, everything has to be perfect. Jesus was perfect. All you have to do is be Jesus. That's all. You just have to be exactly like Jesus. Then you have kept the law. Because Jesus is the end of the law. He is what the law was all about. You can just say, keep the law, be perfect. Or be Jesus. Be just like Jesus. There, that's it. Now, if you've got that, you've got it made. I mean, then you get into heaven. You see? But there ain't nobody like that. So, that's all he's doing here. He's just showing you. And this is a fun thing to do. Sin being revealed in you does not hurt you. It's a wonderful thing. If we could get this across today, we would do a miracle, you see. But sin being revealed doesn't hurt me. I know I'm not perfect, so big deal. It does not, it's just simply, I see. Look at that. Not being merciful like he was, yet he forgave me. And it just makes me love Jesus all the more. Every time he shows me a new sin, I just say, well, praise God, I really needed that. You know, now I see again. I saw yesterday, now I see again today. Boy, I needed him. I would never have gotten to heaven on my own. I almost thought today, I think I would have made it. I was feeling pretty good today. I think I would have made it. But then he shows me some sin, pride. Oop, I wouldn't have made it. Eh? After all, I wouldn't have made it. But at least I thought of that, and I condemned myself for that. So that's pretty good, and on and on. And he just keeps revealing everything you can do. And pretty soon, you can relax. I mean, you get the idea after a while that there's nothing good in you. And you can relax. You see what I mean? No one can come along and condemn you. This is what the devil's always trying to do. He gets you one of these three things, or if not all of them. You can actually do all three at once, if you're really good. You can change your behavior and justify it, which is hard to do both of those, but it can be done. You know, you have to be very good, but it can be done. And feel condemned all at once. It's amazing. But usually people try to do one. They try to change their behavior, not justify it, so they won't be condemned. Or they say, I can't change it, so I'm just condemned. Or they say, I didn't do anything wrong, you know, then I'm not condemned, and so on. They just try one or the other, but can't you see you're going to fall into one of those traps or another? As soon as you see sin, somebody says, you lied. I did not. Well, okay, I did, but I had to, or, you know, this one thing or another. Oh, my God. You know, I'll do penance for 30 years or something. You know, why? Just laugh. Say, praise the Lord. You know, just look at Jesus. Look over at Jesus. And as you see, my brother or my sister, anybody can reveal Jesus' love light to me because the Holy Spirit can use anybody. Right? Right? He does. In fact, not only can he does. He uses all kinds of people all the time. In every situation. I can always grow from anything and everything. I can grow from everything. There's no person in the world that God can't use and won't use and isn't using. I can even grow from my worst enemies, right? Even my enemies have to bless me. They will. All right. Now, look what happens, though. It's good to be a sinner. Now, you understand, in the terms I'm using it now, I don't mean this kind, because I'm not a sinner as far as my new heart's concerned. But it's good to see my sin daily, in that sense, be a sinner. It's not really, I'm not really a sinner. I'm a sinner who still sins. I mean, I'm a saint who still sins. That's who I really am. But it's good to be a saint that still sees his sins. Why? Because you get the Savior then. Because Saviors come for sinners. Now, if I'm not a sinner, if I'm not still sinning, then I don't need Jesus. I mean, what if I was just made perfect? Well, I wouldn't need Jesus anymore. See? So I wouldn't get to know him any better. Because I'd say, once saved, always saved. He saved me, that's it. I don't need to know him anymore. I don't need to talk with him, walk with him, or anything. I mean, I can if I want to, just sort of extra credit. You know? But I don't need to. If I've got it made, I don't need to do that. But if he's continually perfecting me, you see, then there's new areas of my life every day. I'm a new person every day. I don't stay. I'm not the person I was yesterday. You understand how I'm talking? I'm not talking about my heart, my real person. I'm just talking about my soul. Every day I get a new soul. It's being perfected from glory to glory to glory. That means I'm not really the same. If I don't spend time in prayer, I'm probably the same. You see? And so some people never grow. From day one, they become Christians. Here, he's saved me here. And from day one until, you know, day, you know, 3 million something or other, whatever the days are, they still have anger. They had anger here, and they still got it here. They're jealous here, and they still got it here. The only thing we can say about that is they may be saved, but they never knew the Lord. They never allowed the Holy Spirit to do any work. In a real sense, they blasphemed the Holy Spirit. But I wouldn't really say that because I don't know. I don't know how to judge the thing. All I know is, gee, if I was a neighbor of that guy, or if I was a fellow church member, or if I was, you know, a pastor, I would want to say something. Hey, you're supposed to be getting rid of anger, you know, and so on and so forth. And then, you see, if they're weak, they'll do these three things because that was their old nature. This is what the old nature always does. But I would teach them not to be afraid. Don't be afraid of the light, because if you're a sinner, you get a Savior. And that's how you get to know Jesus. It's wonderful to be convicted of sin. It's one of the most thrilling things. It really is. To see your sin, to actually not see the surface of it, but to really see the depth of it, is one of the most thrilling, exciting things. Now, why can't Christians learn to look at it that way, rather than, oh, I hope I didn't do that. Oh, you know. You know, no, just the opposite. Well, praise God. Is that what's been bugging me all these years? I didn't know that. You mean I hated that prayer? Well, praise God. I didn't know that because it's just my soul. It's not my real self anyway. Well, praise the Lord. How'd that guy get snuck in there? You know, no wonder. Let's take an example, just so you understand what I'm saying. Let's say the day you were born, again, you loved everybody. I love everybody. All right? And, you know, you saw old enemies on the street, and you just say, well, praise God, brother, I love you. And, you know, what's wrong with you? You know, well, I just met Jesus. You know, you really have the love. I mean, you're not just saying it theologically. You feel it. You just feel love for everybody. Sister, I just love you. You know, and you just go up and say, you know, I want to forgive me, and I know I stole $10 from you. And, you know, you're just full of love. You just can't do enough for people. I hope some of you have experienced that. There's a great love that comes over you. Whenever you've been forgiven much, you'll love much. Anyway, let's say that was your experience. It could be that by day, let's say 53, you know, give it a month or so, a couple months there. By day 53, you lost it. Let's not explain why, but let's just say you don't feel real loving again. Could be day 3, could be day 1, you know. But let's just say a couple of months you had that great love for everybody. Then all of a sudden it began to dry up. And at first you didn't notice it, and at first you tried not to look at it. But after a while you noticed, I don't really love everybody. I love a few people, but, you know, I'm still mad at my old, you know. And, you know, you get re-angry, you know. You sort of get back into it, okay? Well, that's normal. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just that you haven't been with Jesus. Well, in a way, you could be growing in other ways, but then this area could be lost. You see what I'm saying? But the point is, here's the thing. At any moment, let's say you say on this day, I am not as loving as I was, you know, the first day. That's a lie. Now, it's true that you aren't acting as loving. And it's true you're not feeling the love. But it disagrees with the Word of God. So now watch. This is a sin. Now, I'm exposing this sin, but watch how helpful this is going to be. It's not going to be harmful. It's going to be helpful. Okay, Romans 5:5, for example, says, the love of God is spread abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit. That means I have, if I'm born again, as I knew I had back here, but now I don't know I have it anymore, so I say to people, I'm not as loving as I once was. All right? Romans 5:5 says, I have the love of God in my heart, even though I'm not experiencing it right now and feeling it and acting it. Right? Okay. But here's the Bible verse here that says, this is the truth. This is the truth here. I am full of love. I am full of love. No matter if it's coming out or not, it's in me. I'm full of love. Now, obviously, somewhere between day 1 and 53, I took my eyes off of Jesus in this area, and I lost my love. For whatever reason, doesn't make any difference why, and I lost my love. But I really didn't. I still have the love of God in me. I still have a new heart. And it's just that I took my eyes off for a moment, and I lost focus. I took my eyes off of Jesus in this area. And so I started accepting a lie. And the lie was this. I'm just like I used to be, only a little bit improved. Because I'm not quite as bad. Even my wife will admit, I'm not quite as bad, you know, that kind of thing. But no, you are, that's not true. Just say this to yourself. I am just as loving. I know I'm not acting that way. But I am loving. Because the thing is, the reason that I got my eyes off of Jesus was I started to believe this. And I'm believing a lie, even though I'm acting that way. God not only can forgive me for that. Now, he exposes this. It's a lie. He can forgive me, but he can redeem everything I've done. But that's neat, isn't it? That he's not mad at me. He sees me as a lover. I just didn't see myself as a lover anymore. But I was a lover. I really am loving. Even though for, let's say, 6 weeks here or whatever, I didn't think of myself that way. Do you know that I'm a lover? You see, how do I know that? Not by my actions or feelings, but I know that by the Bible. That gets me back in again. Do you see? That restores it again. Are you understanding? You can do this with any sin. This is what the Holy Spirit does. And the rhema will come. Now, this is just a logos. This is just a general word of God. That may not convict you as I said it. But the Holy Spirit, but you've got to start with the logos. You've got to start with the Word of God. Well, I say you've got to. Sometimes you just get the rhema right off. But if you're not knowing how to get the victory, say to you, okay, let's use another one. I am happy. I am happy. Boy, I remember when I was a Christian. Boy, was I happy. But I don't feel happy now. I don't feel happy now. What's wrong with me? What's wrong with you is you're looking at yourself. You need to be convicted of looking at yourself. That's your sin, is looking at your sin. That's a sin. Isn't that a sin? Sin is looking at sin. The biggest sin in the world, looking at sin. Don't look at sin. Don't look at self. Don't look at circumstance. Don't look at anything. Look at Jesus. That's the whole thing. Because remember what he said? I will convict the world of sin because they believe not. Didn't he say that? Isn't that what he said? He didn't say because they sin. He said because they don't believe. Let's read it. Let's read it. See if I can find it here. Okay. I don't know if I can find it. Where are we? 9? Okay. Okay, yeah. 9 or 10, somewhere in there. Concerning 10, amartias, because they believe not in me. See? Because they believe not in me. That's the biggest sin. You could say it's the only sin. The only sin is not believing. Do you believe in Jesus? Then you must believe in you. Because Jesus died for you. And Jesus rose to live in you. And Jesus reigns to reign in you. Therefore, if you're going to believe Jesus, you've got to believe you. You've got to. You've got to believe in the new you. Do you believe in the new you? See? You've got to believe that you are happy right now.
Well, I don't feel happy.
Well, that's all right. You are happy.
Well, I don't want to say it. You know, I'm sure it's true. I just don't want to let go of it. I'm enjoying this. It feels better. You know, I'm miserable and I like it. I want Jesus to save me. Well, he already did. Well, I mean, something magic. He did it already. Just the word. It's not good enough. You know, I'm going to stay here unhappy. There's, you know, here's the reason. There is a reason. You know, the reason is you have a false picture somewhere. A false picture, an expectation. You're playing God again. You have an expectation of let's say, other Christians, or of the Christian life, or of what God was going to do, or of how you would behave, or of something, you know, whatever it is. But that's a lie from hell, and all you got to do is give up your picture. But you got to see it before you can give it up, because you didn't even know you had one. But that's what's making you miserable. Is you got your eyes off of Jesus and you got it on some other picture, some other image, some other thought. Like, well, I thought, you know, well, whatever it is you thought, you know, you have to take every thought captive to the Word of God. That will release you again. You know, I thought, and so on. It sounds very impressive, you know. Now, that's what he does all the time. Don't you see, like, convicting of sin is a fun thing? It's really a neat thing. All it does is take off all the weights. It just releases you from everything that would bog you down. So, whenever the Lord shows me a sin, I get excited. I don't feel bad. I always feel like, that's where you've been working. I didn't know where you were. I was working over here in the corner of the field over here. I didn't know you were over there. I was working on patience, and you've been working over here on, you know, happiness. I was beating myself for being impatient. You're over here trying to help me to be happy. I didn't know that was my sin. Do you see what I'm saying? You have to find out where he's working. And so he's just going to show you what your sin is. You're in the wrong part of the field. You're looking down. And he just wants you to look up. Look up. So now you can say, once you see this, and that has to come through a rhema, but once you see what it is, I am happy. This is the truth. Now, knowing that if you didn't know what this was, you can still work backwards. You can still say, I am happy. And that will cause a war to happen anyway, because sooner or later, this picture is going to come up against it. If you say, I'm happy, when you know you're not feeling happy, sooner or later, you can say, well, what is it that makes me not happy? Because I am happy, so what accusation do you have? And it'll name itself sooner or later. Well, all right, if you really want to know, yes, I do. All right. You know, and it'll come out slowly. They never come out like that. They usually are very slow. Because they figure you don't really want to know. You know, and you have to say, I really want to know. I'm not afraid. I want to know. You really want to know? Yeah, I really want to know. What is it? Come on. What? Really want to know? You know, it's just like, all right. It's because you don't put your socks up. Or, you know, it'll be some dumb thing, you know. And, you know, something will come out. Aha, you know. God wants us to be real. This will humble you every day. This will humble you. This will make you real. Now, again, this is only the flesh. We're not talking about the spirit. This is not building up your spirit. This is removing the flesh. You see, he's already built up your spirit. If you're built up, you can take this and you'll look at it in the right light. You see? But when he removes that, your spirit will be released. It's already built up. Then you look, get the thing out of the way. Oh, I see. Then he says, I love you anyway. Mercy, love. And then he'll give you, you know, over here let's call it power love. He reveals Jesus as power love. In other words, love empowers. Love exposes, love covers and forgives and merciful and so on. Love also empowers and enables and strengthens and helps and guides and teaches and yeah, does all kinds of wonderful things. So we want all of them. I not only want to see my sin, but I want to see my Savior who convicts of sin. I want to see the Lord who's the law, who's the judge, who's the righteous one, the holy one, the pure one, whom I'm not. I am in my new man, but I'm talking to my spirit, in my soul. Because this is all we're doing now is in the soul. The Holy Spirit is a soul man. He's a soul man. He's interested in sanctifying the soul. He's already justified us. I'm only talking to Christians today because I'm not talking to the non-believers. This would be true also of the non-believers. This is how you get to become a Christian. Same way you get to be a Christian, same way you live. As you're born, so you live. He starts with sin, he forgives you, and then he empowers you. You know, same thing. But now we're just making it practical. So you can say right now, I'm the happiest person, you know, on the face of the earth. Or you have to really say, I'm just as happy as everybody else, but you make it extravagant, you know. I'm happy. There's nobody happier, in other words. Let's say it that way. There's none happier than I am. There's none more loving than I am. If I'm a Christian, if I have the love of God in me, if I have the joy of the Lord in me, right? I've got the, you know, we said it. Now that's who you are. Now don't regard sin. Do you think, well, I'll say it when I see all the sin gone. Well, you'll never see all the sin gone. That's silly. That's unfaith. That's another sin. You see? Well, I'm not going to say I'm happy when I don't feel it. I don't want to be a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite if you don't say it. Because you got a new heart and then you're going according to your old man. That's hypocrisy. If you're a Christian, then talk like one, walk like one, act like one, whether you feel like one or not. You understand? That's not hypocrisy. Hypocrisy would be if you said it and it really wasn't true. But it really is true. Now when you say the opposite, when you confess negative things, you're hypocritical. If I say, well, I'm not happy. Well, that's hypocritical. Then you're denying the Lord of glory. Again, you're denying the work of the Holy Spirit. Because the work of the Holy Spirit said, you are. Now, you could say, I don't feel happy. But remember, when we Christians talk that way, I don't feel happy, we know that doesn't mean anything. Well, I don't feel very happy right now. Look at my brow kind of furled. I don't feel very happy right now. You know, but I should say it this way. Well, I don't feel happy. But praise the Lord, I am happy. Because Jesus is on the throne. Right? Now, you're never going to be able to always stay on top. Sometimes your feelings will get you down. But that's why he comes along and convicts. That's why you have a constant walk with him. He'll pick you up again. He'll encourage you again. So, you can say right now, I am preeminently happy. Let's say it. We'll start here with Erlene.
I am preeminently happy.
We almost had a snag there. Okay, go ahead. Now let your face know it. Some of you have not let your face know it. Say it anyway. You have to have faith. What about you? Preeminent means it's eminent means high. Preeminent means the highest. None could be higher. It's the highest eminence. The most high. The most high. I am the most high happy. Okay. Now, that was true, but you may not have felt it. I dare say half of you didn't feel it. Half of you did. Some of you felt it even as you said it. And it almost then said, get back down there, you happiness. You know, you don't come out. I'm not going to feel happy. I'm not going to afford to feel happy today till I work out all my problems or something or other, you know, until I understand everything or something or other. Look, live now free. We're free. I didn't make any of this up. This all comes from the Bible. This is just the way that God told us to think and to act and to feel and to talk and to do all kinds of things. So this is how we get victories, is let Jesus show us the sin in our lives. You know, unbelief. It's always going to be unbelief. It's always going to be some lie that has captured me and caused me to believe a lie. Always, every time, there's some lie Satan has given to me. Now, that doesn't bother God. It may bother you, which is another lie, but that does not bother God. God chose you when you were sinners. You think now he's going to reject you because you're still committing sins? He says in the Bible, he even tells us, if we say we have no sin, talking to Christians, we lie. And we really, it doesn't say we lie. It says we make him a liar. You're calling God a liar. You say, well, I don't have any sins. You're calling God a liar. God says you got loads of them. As long as you got a flesh, you're going to have, it's all lies. Everything in the flesh is lies. Everything in the flesh is murder, adultery, fornication, etc. Mark has, I think it's Mark 8 or Mark 7, somewhere in there, has about 13 of them listed. There's more, but there's 13 in licentiousness, and I don't remember them all. All right? So, I'm not surprised. I'm never surprised to see that I'm abominable. I'm never surprised. It's just my flesh. I can just giggle and laugh all day long to know, you know, all he's going to do is reveal a dead man. He's just going to reveal a dead man. You know, here's a corpse here, laying here, you know, with his hands folded over, you know, with a lily. All he's going to do is reveal a dead man. That's my old man. You know, that one died on the cross, you know, 2,000 years ago. I'm not worried about him. That's not me. That is not me. That is my old man. And there's a war to keep him dead. Stay dead, you know. You, stay dead. You know, don't get up. That's not me. I'm happy, you know. I'm in the Lord. That's the truth. Now, I may not feel that, but if I'm going to wait for a feeling, I'll have to wait till heaven. Or have little moments here and there. But God, that is not faith then. Faith goes against feeling. Goes against appearance, goes against what I see, feel, hear, think. Faith builds on the Bible, and the Bible says everything's all right. The Bible says I'm doing fine. Isn't that good to know? Now, if you want to please God, please Him precisely at the moment. Anybody can smile when things go well, but please Him precisely at the moment when things are yucky and say, I'm in victory, I'm on top, I'm the head, you know, I'm not the tail. That's when you should say all those things. It's easy to say when everybody's feeling good, I've got the joy, you know, then it's easy to get them to say it right away. Love or wisdom or something, well, it comes at the right moment. In other words, when you need that, that's when you have to have that. Well, so the Lord shows you these sins, and He reveals always the root of them. He's not just trying to point out, you're still doing this, or you're still doing this. He's not doing that. What He's trying to do is show you where He's working, so you can cooperate with Him. He's not going to make you, give me that sin, you know. He doesn't do that. Have you noticed the Holy Spirit's a gentleman? He's very gentle. In fact, you could go for years and years and years in your sins. Did you notice He doesn't rip them away from you? He just lets you go on and on and on. He just keep coming and saying, could I talk to you about your sin today?
No.
You know, go away. Okay. You just wait and come back a little later. Could I talk now? You know, and He's very gentle. He's firm, but He's gentle. He's not going to force His way on you. Get me, get in here, you know. And He's, yeah, you got some sins, you know. And put His finger in your face, you know. When are you going to get up? Now, that's what Christians do to one another, you know. And they have a lot of ways of doing it. Since they know that technique is not too good, they have subtle ways of doing it. Letting you know. They have ways of ignoring you or of, you know. They have all kinds of neat, cute ways. That's okay, praise the Lord. It's just sins. You do that, don't you, sometimes? No, it's just your dead man. He's dead already. He can't hurt you. What can a dead man do? He's dead. He's gone. It's over with. More than 4 days. After 4 days, it's gone. Okay? So, that's good. You see, anybody can believe God loves me when I'm acting nice, but when I'm acting yucko, and God, then I hear the word. You see, that's when I say, I don't want to hear that. You know, get away. You know, I'll come back later, talk to you. You know, that's when you need to hear the Lord say, hi. So don't smile at me, you know, I don't deserve that, you know.
I love you.
No, you don't understand. Did you not see what I just did? You know, just please go away. I'm feeling miserable right now. You know, you just don't want to talk to somebody that loves you right then. You see, you want to reject love because you don't feel, you don't know the truth is, I love you. No, you don't love me. You couldn't love me. I'm not lovable. I wouldn't love me. He says, that's the difference between you and I. You know, we're different. We're different, you see? That, and so it's precisely at those moments you must hear it and laugh. Because then you have nothing. You know, at least before you could feel miserable about it. Well, I did it and I know it was wrong, but, you know, all right, I did it. And then you try to justify it and then you feel condemned. And then you try all of them, you know, you try different things. All right, I'm going to change, you know. And you go through all this nonsense here. And finally you just look at it and say, well, praise the Lord, I did what I did. God will redeem it. He loves me just the way I am, even if my husband's mad. Praise the Lord. You know, God will give me wisdom. I don't know when, someday, you know. And maybe I'll lose my marriage. You know, maybe this, maybe that. Who knows? But I know one thing. God's in charge. I can't do a good thing. I don't know how to do it apart from God. So He'll do it. And I'm just going to dance and sing right now and shout and let God love me. That's impossible. Do you realize that's impossible? The old man could never do that. He could never do that. The old man could never do it. Because the evil old man wouldn't do it. He would just keep doing evil. And the nice old man can't believe that you could do that. So he wouldn't do it either. So the old man never could do that. Okay? You see that? So it's precisely when you can say at all times and in all seasons, Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. That's all. That's that. It's you never get beyond that. You can't. You cannot get more sophisticated than that. Little children's song.
I got a call yesterday. You know,
talk real loud, so everybody can hear.
We're always trying to help one another in our problems, you know, in our sins and so forth. And so this friend said, "I have this sin. I'm going to call it murder because we don't." As an example, she said, "I have this sin, and it's you know this murder. I can't get over this hump. This must not be the root of it, and I just keep taking it to the Lord, but He doesn't take it away, you know, and all this. Well, the real problem is seeing the sin rather than just going to Jesus and loving Him.
Mm-hmm.
Because even when she's going to Jesus,
right,
there's just she's not meeting Him because she's all she's seeing is that flesh sin.
Right. Yeah.
Like the lust of the flesh.
Sure. Right.
How do you get past this to you just put your flesh down in order to praise the Lord? You just love the Lord and praise Him so that you're lost.
Yeah.
Late, eventually, you're going to forget about the sin. He just takes care of it without any feeling. You just realize it's gone.
Yeah. Well, feelings can come. You cannot control your feelings. I mean, you notice that. You can't say, I will now feel happy. You know, what you can say is, I will say I'm happy, and I can let my face look happy, and so on and so forth. But you can't make yourself feel. So feelings just come and go. And they're not the rulers or controllers, although they do rule and control most people. You know, when you're feeling down, you just, you know, you tell your face, you got to look like that, you know, and so on and so forth. And you tell your actions to look like that, you know, people hump over. You can tell I feel bad, can't you? But I'm just play acting, because I'm feeling great, you see?
Pray with me. Well, you just, you know, we'll pray to the Lord. They think you're crazy.
Yes, they do. Yeah, right. Which you are. But, you know, that's why we're fools for Christ. We're really living in a new creation, aren't we? We're not living in the old creation. That stuff doesn't bother us. Let all the sin come out. Now, this is not for your neighbors. I'm not talking about tell other people. It's just between you and God. That's why He does it in the closet. 99% of this stuff is in the closet, you know. Well, maybe it's a little more than that, not in the closet. But most of it's taking place in the closet. And even if you get it somewhere else, some brother or sister shows you, you still have to take it back and work it out there.
That's what she's saying. Like, I'm going to the Lord, but I don't feel like I'm going to the Lord. He doesn't do anything. You know, she said, I keep telling Him about this.
Mm-hmm.
What
right.
do I do now? You know?
Sure, right. Well, we've all been there. I mean, everybody has, you know, been at that spot. But here's the thing, is that Jesus is going to show you this to such an extent that you will be helpless. I mean, He's not just trying to show you a sin so you get condemned or so that you change it or so that you justify it. He's trying to show it to you so you realize, I can't do anything. And so you come up with a big I can't. I can't be happy, love, rejoice, not be anxious, you know, whatever. I just can't. I can't, and I can't not laugh, and I can't be strong, and I can't be weak, and I can't, you know, whatever. You see what I'm saying? I mean, one minute you can say, I can't be weak.
The next minute you say, I can't be strong, you know. But what can you do? Nothing. Ah, praise the Lord. That's great. I can't stop playing God. Somebody said, stop playing God. You're playing God. Okay, I'll try to stop myself. I'm not going to play God. Hey, you're playing God in the very thing of trying not to play God. Do you see what I'm saying? You can't clean yourself up. If you're playing God, you're playing God. Just admit it. Just say, I'm playing God. I'm a great God. I am a great God. Have you never done that? Don't you do that? I do this daily in my prayers. I am God, daily. That temptation comes to me to be God. I have more understanding. I have, you know, whatever. You know, you play God. So you can't say, well, I don't play God anymore. I know there's, you know, that's pious. That's silly. Don't you have a flesh? So you will play God. Let's raise our hands if you all know that. You will play God. Good. Now you see, that's not bad. That's par. That's what this guy's all about. This is a play God, you know. That's what he does. That's his biggest thing. He only lies when he pretends like he's humble. We're all playing God. Everyone. Even as Christians, it still happens. So, the thing about Jesus is, he is God. And we isn't God. We're vain gods. We're empty gods. We can't do a thing. He says, many times in the Bible, he says, all right, God, do something. Now, make a statement. See if you can make it come to pass. You know, let's try it out. See if your little kingdom that you rule brings happiness. By golly, I will. You know, I'll do my own thing and I'll be happy. Okay, go ahead. You happy? No, but I'm getting there. You know, you'll never get there. You see, God wins. He is God. You can't be God. You can play God all you want, but you ain't God. That's all. You can't make one hair of your head, you know. You can't add one cubit to your space. You can't do nothing. Now, that's all there's to it. Now, but you don't have to realize that. I'm going to make myself realize it. You can't make yourself realize it. If you think you're God, you think you're God. Go ahead and be God. It's fun. You only can find out you're not God by being God. No one gets humble except the proud. I mean, how are you going to get humble unless you're first proud? You see? He doesn't make humble people humble. He makes proud people humble. I mean, when you're humbled like that, wacko, you know, you just made some big statement, wacko, you know, then you are humbled, you know? You just made this big, bold statement. Oh, I've always loved Jesus. And then 3 days later you realize, uh-oh, you know, I forgot about that, you know? And it just, wow, and I said that so loud. Why didn't I say it softer, you know? I said that humbles us. It's great. That's exactly the way we grow. That's a wonderful thing, don't you see? Sins only tell us where God's working. Sins only tell us where God's working. I like to know where he's working. And then he starts working on something, I say, wow, that's a big one. Yeah, I guess you're a big God. I couldn't do it. You can work on that one? Woo, let's work on something else. You want to work on that one? Okay, let's work on that one. Woo, boy, if you could do that one, God, you'd really be something. Do you see what I'm saying? This all magnifies God, doesn't it? I can't believe he could take that one on. You know, I had in mind this one. You know, I thought this was smaller. He says, we'll show you that one later, but you're going to need this one first. You know, you think that one's small and this one's big? You wait, you'll see. And then later I see, oh, that one's bigger than I thought it was. And that one was easier than I thought it was. But by the time I got my eyes on Jesus and I'm walking with Jesus, everything is wonderful. Right? Everything goes. Now, somebody had their hand up here.
Yeah, I was trying to tell you about the teacher. Why don't you? Fascinating. It says the same thing you do, but it says our flesh is just a record in our brain which dies when we do. And flesh is flesh, so what? Water is wet and rock is hard. You know, it doesn't mean anything, and we react to what we did in a long time ago before we knew Christ. Mm-hmm. We got all these records in our brain, we still react to what. And then it said the way it helped it was to, Paul boasted in his weakness, you know, the second Corinthians 10:9. Mm-hmm. So you say, I notice that I'm really feeling sorry for myself. And then mm-hmm. you keep saying, ha ha, I boast in it. I notice mm-hmm. I'm really feeling sorry for myself. Mm-hmm. Ha ha, so what? You know. Mm-hmm. flesh, water is wet and rock is hard. Who cares? Mm-hmm. Christ died for that. And then that empties the space somewhere that you can get your eyes on Christ. Mm-hmm. When you notice and boast in your weaknesses.
Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Because the whole thing is to see Jesus, isn't it? I mean, isn't this the whole purpose of life? You see how much I love Jesus? Why? Because I let Him work on me. Because I'm willing to be real day after day. I'm not willing to be pious. I don't want to be pious. You understand what I'm saying? Because he that's been forgiven much, that you got to have much sin to be forgiven much. He that's been forgiven much loveth much. So if I have much sin, I'll have much forgiveness and I'll love much. You see, there's no other way to become more loving. I can't get humble without first being proud. So he that has much pride will be forgiven much pride, will be humbled much, and will be very loving. Because humble people God exalts and uses. And God is love, so I'll be very loving. You understand? So I'm not afraid of sin. I'm not afraid of sin. The church is. Christians are, you know, in general. They don't like sin. They're always trying to get rid of it. You know? The thing is, it can't condemn you. It can't hurt you. It can't harm you. Sin is just sin. Have you got it? Does everybody have it? Is it a little bit slow?
Yeah. Through a glass darkly.
Through a glass darkly. It's kind of new. It's kind of hard to get it, but it's simple. It's so simple, that's why it's hard. Yeah.
Yes, I told you this, but that man that Wednesday night told me that. I think this is a beautiful picture of what you're saying. John the Baptist came and said, repent, repent, repent. And made everybody really feel bad and it was tough and long. Well, but then when Jesus came, he said, don't look at me anymore. There you behold the Lamb.
Yeah, I'm following, yeah.
And that helped me so much
yes.
to see this whole picture.
Right, that's correct. Now, all the prophets did that, but John is the best prophet of all, isn't he? Because he's the one that could actually point to the physical guy. But every prophet said, repent, keep the law, you bums. Every prophet said that, but that was only one finger. But with the other finger, they also said, behold, the day is coming when God will send one who will wash away, and on. Every prophet has the both aspects to him. One is, you shape up. But you see, the purpose of the law, it's to convict us of sin so that we will see we can't do it, so that we'll turn to Him. You see, the whole purpose of the law is always as a school teacher to bring us to the master. It's not really to make you keep it. Everybody thinks over here, oh, I'm supposed to keep the law. So some rebel and they feel bad. Others keep it and they feel good. Dumb. Nobody's kept it because the law says be perfect. The whole purpose of the prophets then was continually to tell Israel, be perfect. We've done it. No, that's wrong. You didn't done it. God does it all, you know, or we can't do it, you know. That's no problem. Just look to God. Call out to God. So you see, all the way through the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, it's the same story. So every prophet does what John says is, repent. The axe is laid to the root of the tree. You know, and you can hear all those things. I'm going to get it. I know I'm going to get it, you know, that kind of thing. And he's really harsh, right? But really, if you listen closely, you see what he's doing. He's just preparing the way for the Savior. The Savior comes along and says, behold, the Lamb of God. Now that supersedes the old. Then the old was just to make me see my sin. Oh, I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. You know, I don't have any. I'm sure I don't have it. I'm better than others. I know I am. I've been awfully good. You know, we just don't want to see it. Why? Because we're afraid there isn't a Savior. Look, if you've got a Savior, this is just the truth. The truth is you're an abomination. Everything about you, you know, everything about you, meaning your flesh, everything about your old man, the natural you, the old nature, is abomination. And he doesn't take it away when you become a Christian. You still keep that around. It's kind of a reminder, isn't it? You know, and no, anybody could be a Christian if your old nature was gone. It'd be easy, wouldn't it? But it takes faith to believe you're a Christian when the old nature is there, harping at you constantly and reminding you and, you know, acting through you and, you know, saying, see, you're still this. See, you still feel this way, don't you? See, you're still, you know. And, you know, and they might say, that's not me. Well, what do you think all this is? I don't know. You know, but Jesus will get to that sooner or later, you know. You don't have to pay attention. See, I am loving. You know, just like you did, you know. That's faith. I mean, it's ridiculous. Because this is obviously real, but it's wrong. That's not real. But you have to be what you are. So you see some good stuff coming out, some bad stuff coming out, but we make the statement in faith, I'm good. I mean, I confess my sin. I say the same thing as God says, that's sin. That's all confession is. Yes, that's sin. Yes, that's sin. I see it. Jesus is perfect. I can see I'm just the opposite. Okay, no problem. Because he forgives, no problem. Then I'm perfect too, but that's my heart. All right. No problem, because now we've killed that part. In other words, it doesn't get to reign
Because it used to rain. You see, this is how it rains. It gets me to do things. Like, as soon as the sin is there, then it gets me to do things, like justify it, or feel condemned, or change your behavior. See, all of life is guilt reduction for the natural man. All of life for the natural man is reducing guilt. Don't you see that? All of life, if you examine anybody's life, all it is, and this is why Freud had such a good time with people, is guilt reduction. Most people are living out of guilt all the time. That's why they're never going to have a good time. They're always living out of guilt. So they have to deal with guilt. Do you see that Christians are just the opposite? We never have to deal with guilt. Now, I know many Christians are. That's because their thinking is wrong and so on and so forth. But there's no guilt. It's not that there's not a feeling of guilt. I know you're going to still feel guilt, but we don't regard that. We reckon ourselves dead to that. Right? So there is no guilt. Doesn't that free you? Can't you feel the weight of guilt even now as Christians? We have so much guilt getting on us. You know, and when you say, there isn't any guilt. I'm loved. My neighbors don't love me. Even my Christian neighbors don't love me like that. But that's okay. You know, blow them off too. They're all right. They're just like you are. You know. So just don't regard that. Regard one, Jesus. Jesus is the only one who really loves you just like you are. Don't look for love from your sister. You're never going to get it. You're never, never, never in this life going to see it perfectly. And you're never going to give it perfectly. Okay? Meaning you don't have a flesh. Meaning you can conquer it all the time. You can't conquer it all the time. You can grow in it, but you're never going to be perfect. Never. You could be for 5 minutes, or for an hour, or for a week, or a month perhaps. But you'll never be all the time. I mean, no matter what, you just can't be. You can't be. You cannot be just like Jesus. Takes faith, takes faith, takes faith. Don't you see? Are you beginning to see it? So, look at here. I'm not guilty. Because he convicted me of sin. But that same one that convicted me of sin, as soon as I saw it, he convicted me of righteousness. Now, I can't just say I'm a sinner. I've got to say also I'm righteous. I'm not being faithful if I say, oh, I don't know, I'm not growing very well. I'm just, blah, blah, blah. You know, that's not right. I've got to go on and say what he says. I love you. You know, this is the guy he loves. The one who just did, felt, saw, thought, that. That's the guy he loves. Me. Do you see that? He doesn't love the good me. He loves me. With the good and the bad and the whole business, he loves me. Not loving sin, I know that. But he's loving me, the one who did the sin, who thought the sin, who felt the sin, who gave in to the sin. He loves me. He separates the sin from the sinner. Praise God. If God can do that, I can do that. And I'll tell you, the more you see it, it'll show up. It'll show up because you will be more fruitful. I know how much love you're seeing from God because that's how much you're giving out. What you're receiving, you're giving. And therefore, most of us aren't receiving too much. I mean, we know the problem is back here in the receiving end. We love because he first loved us. It's on the receiving end that all the problems are. It's not between brother and sister, sister and sister, brother and brother. It's always between, you know, son and father. It's always between Savior and beloved. That's all. So here's the thing is, learn to love this. Learn to delight in this. Learn to have a good time when God is showing you your sin. Learn not to say, and it's very difficult. I tell you, I say it so easily. It is difficult to do it. Of course it is. I know that. I mean, I'm not saying it like it's just a picnic. I'm trying to encourage you in it because when it will come devastatingly strong sometimes. Not always, but usually. It'll come so hard that it's hard to maintain yourself. You know, just barely can you keep the faith. That's why you have to have the Word in you, and lots of Word. That's why you're here and in different places. You need Word. You need lots of Word. Because I tell you, sometimes the battle is so strong, isn't it? The darts come, you know. You have to be able to throw it off. But faith is the only thing that'll do it. Jesus did the same way. It is written. It is written. It is written. You know? And every time, that saves you. Every time, that saves you. The Bible, the Word of God, will save me every time. So I'm not afraid of sin. And I don't say nice things about myself here. I say nice things about myself here. I never say nice things about myself here. I say all the worst things. Every bad character in the Bible, that's me. That's me. I'm Pharaoh. I'm Goliath. I'm Herod. You know, whoever the bad guys are, that's me. I'm the Pharisee. I'm the publican. I'm everybody. Everybody in the Bible is bad. That's me. Do you see that? That's you. That's just a picture of you. It's just a mirror to show you you. Say, well, I'm not as bad as that. You have not understood then. If you can ever say, I'm not as bad as that. Now, one of the sins is that you will say, I'm not as bad as that. That's one of the sins, you know. It's called pride or arrogance or nobility or morality or, you know, good self-righteousness or something like that. You can't escape that. Everybody has it. Even the worst person in the world, even the worst mafia guy, the worst Hitler, they even think they're good. I mean, they think they're good too. Did you know that? I once had this person in my life who had lived just a botched life. And I went to that person and I said, you know, how could you do it, so to speak? And they said, with kind of correct righteous indignation, well, I thought I was doing right. Now that is so dumb because it was obviously wrong. But they really meant that. And I could see, as if I really listened carefully, actually people who do wrong have justified what they've done. They have they really believe they did right there. I mean, they have a way of telling themselves that was right, even though they know it's wrong. They have a way of telling them, well, I did it because, you know, you should have seen what he did to me, or whatever the thing is. They actually believe they did right. And that kind of blew my mind. I thought, you know, that's true. That's true. Sure, whatever the reason. So here I'm the worst person in the world. Praise God, that one's dead. Here I'm the best person in the world. Isn't that wonderful? Just goes like this. Bang, bang. That's faith. You know, it isn't faith to say, this guy's pretty bad, and so God loves him. Bye, Polly. That doesn't take a lot of faith. Can you see that? If I'm only pretty bad, and God loves me, you know, half good, half bad, well, I can understand God. He probably loves me for the good half, you see. But if I'm all bad, now that really takes faith. It doesn't take a lot of faith if I'm only half bad. But it takes a lot of faith to realize I'm a dimwit. You know, you don't have any mind. You think you're smart, you know. You're a dimwit. You're a dumbo. You don't know anything. You know. Now that's refreshing. That is so refreshing to me to realize I'm a dummy. That was one of the greatest revelations in my life. I remember the day it came. It's one of the greatest revelations is I don't know anything. After all those years of school, I went to 22 years of formal schooling. You know, and I have 3 degrees. And after all those years of you know, striving to be a great student, you know, then I realized I'm a dumbo. I don't know anything. That's good. That was so refreshing to realize I don't have to think. Because I put so much stock in that. I thought, well, one thing I've got, you know, I've got this mind. I'm going to develop this. You know, it's a winning stroke. Why change it? You know, I seem to be doing good on that. I didn't seem to be much for athletics, you know. So I'll be an egghead. You know, everybody picks their deal. You know, but I realized one day my very asset is actually my biggest defect. The very thing I thought I was so good at. Other people, it's being good. You know, they think they're so good. Well, that's their very defect. Other thing is beauty. I'm so attractive. Well, that's your very defect. The very thing you thought was good is the very thing that's bad. Well, I'm very religious. Then that's your greatest defect. Whatever you think you're good at, that is the thing that must be revealed. That's what we call Jacob's strength. That's where God touched him on his thigh, which is the strength of a man. He touched him on his thigh. That is where God wants to first touch you. If he really is going to touch you, he wrestles with you and blesses you by touching you there. That was the blessing. The blessing was he touched him right there, gave him a new name. Now he's a limper. You know, and you all have to be limpers. You know, don't come out and say, well, I just love God. You know, well, that's true in faith. That is a faith statement. No, but I really feel it all the time. That you're lying. That is not true. That's as though you didn't have a limp. You've got a limp. Hey, all of us have a limp. Have you noticed? You know, you're not the only one. I thought I was hiding my limp rather well. You know, you didn't. You got a limp. That's what Jacob means. That's what Jacob means. Israel. He got his name changed. Jacob, cheater, to Israel. He was a cheater. You know, he was always cheating. He was always so strong. He was always able to outwit his brother. You see? He went by his brains. Most of us do that. Most of us have that problem. You know, we think we're so smart. Very clever people. You know. Well, you're a dumbbell. You don't know anything. You know, the Bible doesn't even regard that you have one good thought. It says you're going to have to take every thought captive to the Word of God. So, well, I must have a few good thoughts. I thought of God, didn't I? No. Everything came to you as a gift. Everything. Well, at least I, you know, and you try to think of something because you're so smart. You know, you try to defend yourself. Well, that's all right. That's par for the course. But when you see yourself as wholly evil, then, you know, if you read a list of sins and you say, blah, 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 well, at least I don't have that and that and that. Those are the very things God's got to teach you on then. That's okay. Just pretend you don't. Pretend like you're better than that. That's all right. But when God gets through with you, you will see that you have all of them. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's in the heart. Now, Jesus said, I'm going to read that. Someone turn to Mark 7, maybe about 8 or 10 or something like that. Mark 7, 10 or 8 or something. Let's see if I can find it. Out of the heart, it says. Mark 7. Mark 7. 21? Yeah, all right. Out of the mark, that profanes the man from within, for out of the heart of men the thoughts evil pass out. Adulteries, fornications, this is you. Murders, thefts, greedy desires, iniquities, deceit, lustful desires, two different things, an eye wicked, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things from within pass out. Now, that's you. Now, you can, if you want to confess Scripture, here's a Scripture to confess. This is for your old man. And you got an old man. So you can confess this. If you don't get to this in your sins every day, you haven't gotten to your sins. You know, it's like this. Here's your real sins. I wish I could write them all down. But adultery, you know, blah, 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 all the way down to what was the last one?
Thoughtlessness.
Evil thoughts or something? Doesn't matter what it is.
Foolishness.
Foolishness. Foolishness. All right. All of those, all 13 of them, and this is not the only list, but you just see how it's all evil. If you don't get down to this, you haven't been honest. And here, look at all the masks I can form between that. You say, well, I didn't really look at the magazine. I just noticed it was over there and I glanced away quickly. See? Now, then that doesn't look as bad as though you walked by and you actually looked at it. You know, or if you actually went over and looked over the shoulder of that other guy, looked right at it. Or if you actually opened it up. But see, the thing is that what the Bible is saying is that your flesh wants to do all that evil and more and more and more and more until adultery. So we've got degrees here all the way from, I thought about it, but I stopped myself that quick, you know, to some nice thing. Look, you're perfect in Jesus. This is your spirit. And everything else in between is a lie. L-I-E. This is the truth here. In other words, this is honest here, that I'm wholly evil in my old man. And there is none of this stuff. There is no middle ground. Now, I'm telling you the Bible. This is the Bible. If you want to really get your prayers going, don't admit of any middle ground. You see, if you really are in the presence of Jesus, there's only black and white. Here's white, and here's black. Here's good, and here's evil. Here's light, and here's darkness, and so on. That's the way the Bible talks. Real. That is reality. Everything else is unreality and lies. And that's why most of our prayers are trying to move from here to here so that we can go from here to here. You're moving. You see, we think this is better. We think we're improving here. This is called improvement, you know, moral blah, blah, blah. And that's close to Christianity. I don't love perfectly, but I'm loving pretty good. Now, you have to go backwards before you can even go forward. Because those that are sinners get saved. Those that have nothing get everything. Not those that are improving get closer to God. You see just the opposite? This is reality now. Reality is getting down to who you really are, which is zero. And then God makes zeros into something. God humbles. Okay, here I'm exalting myself. And God humbles the exalted that he might exalt the humbled. Do you see that? That's the principle of the kingdom. It's so neat. It's so freeing. If you could grasp this, it's the most wonderful thing. The very thing you're afraid of is the very thing you ought to go for. The very thing you're going for is the very thing you ought to be afraid of. You know, it's just the opposite. Everything is the opposite. You think wrong. All your thoughts are wrong. All your thoughts are wrong. Every thought you have is wrong. Nobody in the whole world knows this. This is known only to Christians. Nobody knows this. The rest of the world is all here. Here's the woman caught at the well. The woman at the well. Here's she, and here's Nicodemus. Here's Nicodemus right here. Here's the woman at the well. You see, that's life. She was a woman of the world, and Nicodemus was a real nice fellow, very religious and so on and so forth. So he was close to the kingdom of God. He was close to perfection, just the opposite. To him he said, you've got to be born again. In other words, you're way back at zero. You don't have anything. To her, he said, praise the Lord. You know, here I am, Jesus, for you. I mean, you know, he just gave her encouragement. She was already at the bottom. You don't have to discourage the bottom ones. She just couldn't believe that he could love her. So he just said, I love you. You know, she said, well, give me a drink of water. I said, I who speak to you, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know, he's just encouraging her because she's already here. And she just can't believe because she thought, I have to get up to Nicodemus. Oh my gosh, it's so hard now. I'm having a tough job now just keeping away from all the stuff I'm doing. And, I'll never get out, you know. And he'll never talk to me and so on and so forth. And then Jesus talks to her, you know, and all that. You know, he must think I'm Nicodemus, or you know, he must misunderstand. Don't you see these eyebrows painted this way? And you know, don't you know who I am, Jesus? I mean, I've got the garb on, the whole bit. I'm advertising to everybody. Don't you understand? You couldn't be much of a prophet. You couldn't know anything. And Jesus knows her. He says, I know who you are. You got five husbands. Oh, it must be a prophet. You know who I am. I heard a man who told me everything I ever did, and I did some things. You know, and well, that's great. All she had to hear was, I love you. She couldn't believe it. Unbelievable. Now, she was a sinner, but Jesus came for sinners. Nicodemus wasn't a sinner. Of course, he was, but he didn't know it. So he has to get back to know it so he can get the good news. You can't hear the good news from here. You can only hear it from here. You can't hear it from here. You can only hear it from here. Gray doesn't hear the good news, only black. Because the good news is white comes to black. Those that are sinners get saved. Isn't that neat?
Jim, is that why the Lord said that prostitutes and
yes,
thieves were closer?
We'll get into the kingdom of heaven before you.
Nicodemus would have to go back.
Exactly. That's what you have to. You have to make that trip every day. Every one of us is the woman at the well, but every one of us is Nicodemus. Right?
Right.
See, every one of us has sin in us, but every one of us also is like Nicodemus who doesn't know it. I mean, you may know it in one area, but you don't know it in all areas. But it's in all areas. All of this is in man that Jesus said. Out of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That's what it's called. But it comes out all so nice and pretty. You know? And that's why it's so easy to counsel. That's why it's so easy to understand. That's why it's so easy to know yourself. If you know yourself, you know everybody else. Because you're all like everybody else. Aren't we all the same? I'm talking Bible now. I'm talking Bible. The world can never conclude what I just told you. This is a revelation from heaven. The world could never know that. No psychiatrist, no psychologist could ever conclude that. They have to make categories like the insane and the not insane. And there's a gray line there somewhere, you know, they don't even know where it is either. Because there isn't any line. We're all the same. Who is more sick, the counselee or the counselor, you know? You know, I mean, there is no thing. Who is really insane? So, who's really the criminal? It's the same thing, you know, all those things. But we make categories in life because it's convenient. I'm up, you're down. I'm better, you're worse, you know. I'm this, you're that. I'm black, you're white. I'm male, you're female. Anything, any kind of category, we try to make hay out of it. We try to do something that will not make us equal. We don't like that. We like to have identity. I'm different. You know, you have every sin in the book. You have the sin of pride, and you have the sin of being more humble than everybody else. I mean, you get it all. Isn't that neat? You're the woman at the well and you're Nicodemus. You're both. Everybody has all of it. If there's a sin in the world, you've done it in your heart. Even if you have never lived in it because of some silly thing, you actually have it all. Jesus had to forgive me every sin in the book. That's the truth. He didn't say, well, now Jim has some sins that are not quite as bad as Nancy's or something like that. You know, and Nancy, whew, I had to really forgive her. Whereas Jim, you know, he was already pretty good. That's not the Bible. Everybody has to have a miraculous forgiveness. I mean, it takes a miracle to save anybody. You can't say, well, it wasn't too hard to save me. I mean, I had a lot going for me. Hey, it took just as much blood to save you as anybody else. Isn't that exciting? That because all of life teaches us the opposite. All of life tells me that I'm worse than, better than, equal to, or something like that. It's not true. This is the truth. The truth shall set you free. This is the truth. In my old man, totally evil. No matter what kind of games, what kind of masks, what kind of deals I've played. This is reality. It's very hard for Christians to buy this because most Christians are living here. And they are not building up this. This is what you want right here. You want to live in your new man. I'm not afraid of my old man. That's why I'll look at it. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to see all that stuff because I know that is dead. I don't even look at it. Somebody says adultery, and I don't go, oh, adultery. You know, I can't imagine my ever doing that. You know, I just look at it and say, fine. Jesus died for that too. Praise the Lord. You know, and it doesn't bother me because I know everybody else is too. How do I know that? Not by thinking about it, because if I think about it, I think, well, that person isn't. But the Bible tells me, oh, that's good. Now we're all equal. See, I live simply instead of so smart. Live simply. The Bible says it, that settles it. If you probe deep enough, you can, you know, find about a lot of junk, but who wants to? Just take the Bible's word for it. I've learned just take the word for it. It always is true. It's always true. And people have been taught to lie. That's okay. That's one of the sins. One of the biggest sins is mask wearing. I would tell you the biggest sin in the Bible is hypocrisy. The biggest sin in the Bible is mask wearing. The biggest sin. You can count up. I have not done this, but I've heard someone else do this. But you can count up, and I'm sure it's true, the number of times that it goes against murder or adultery or blah, blah, blah. But the biggest sin that's mentioned in the New Testament is always going to be hypocrisy. Yes?
Where is it that the Bible says if you're guilty in one point, you're guilty of it all, and so it all just covers all of it? It's so just one little point.
There's several places. I think Romans has that too. But it may be James. Yeah.
So even if we just have one point,
one would do it.
All anyway,
exactly.
We need the blood of Christ for cleansing.
Right.
So really, there's no degree in sin.
There is no degrees. Right. Praise the Lord. If we say we have no sin, what? The truth is not in us. The truth is Jesus. Then Jesus is not in you. Because if Jesus is in you, he's going to point out your sins. Not because he's after you. I mean, he's not after you. He just wants to help you. Why do you get worked up over your sins as though you could save yourself? Or as though you cared about it or something? The reason you sin is because you want to. This is your old man. You sin because you want to.
Well, I didn't want to do that.
Of course you did. That's why you did it. Your will is involved in every sin. Oh, I didn't mean that. Well, your new man didn't, of course, but your new man didn't sin either. It was your old man that sinned. And your old man wanted to. You can't do it against your will, so to speak. You do it willfully. So sins are willful. So I couldn't help it. The devil made me do that. You know, he put that temptation right there and I had to do it. Does the Bible say that? No. It says that there's no necessity. You are not pathetic. I couldn't help it. I was raised that way. Of course you could help it. You see? You have no excuse. You aren't pathetic. Pathetic means you aren't responsible. I couldn't help it, really. I couldn't. You know, that's pathetic. Can you see? That's pathetic. But that's where most people try to excuse themselves for responsibility. That's what psychology is all about, showing people how pathetic they are.
Well, we were raised on the wrong side, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know, we had a very harsh mother, and I had a very tough father. And that
doesn't make any difference. You are responsible. You can live a holy life. You can. Now you say, well, I can't. Apart from Jesus, you can't. But in Jesus, you can. Therefore, you are responsible. Because you've heard of Jesus. Well, I don't know much about him. Well, you're responsible nonetheless. The Bible holds you responsible whether you like it or not. Every man is responsible. You, O man, are without excuse. Romans 2:1. You are without excuse. You have no excuse. Now, I know there are degrees of light. I understand that. Nevertheless, you're responsible for the light you have. For the light you have. If you don't have a lot of light, you're not responsible for all light. But you will be accounted responsible. Enough to get you in, certainly. And once you meet the Lord, then you are more responsible, right? Because some of us have more light than others. I'm more responsible than someone who's just come in for the first day because I've known the Lord longer. So yes, I am responsible. And someone who's known the Lord for 50 years and yet has never really been fed well, they are not as responsible as someone who's been there for 3 weeks and has been fed well. The more light you have, it isn't just age, the more light you have, the more responsible. You see? All right? That's why you are quite responsible. I'm making you responsible. Do you see that? if I teach you well, you will be responsible for everything you're taught. Now, those that didn't come to the teaching today, they're not responsible. you have no excuse for not being happy all the time because I taught you that so well. You see what I'm saying? You can be happy. God bless you. Have a good day. You can have a wonderful time all the time because you're learning how. You can't say, well, I didn't know how. I knew I was supposed to, but I didn't know how. No, it's up to you, you see. You say, well, I didn't hear that teaching too well. Well, okay, praise the Lord. But at least hear this. Go home and study it. You know, you're responsible. Every word makes me more responsible. That's why Christians are the most responsible people on all the earth. You know, we cannot run so easily like the world can and do things, you know. We have a God that can help us, so it's easy to be responsible. Why? Because God is responsible. Here, I'm irresponsible, but here, He's responsible for me, and here, He and I work at it together. He's my helper. I don't do anything apart from Him, but I do everything in Him or with Him. Cooperate. We're co-workers. I can work out my own salvation. Why? Because He's in me. That's why. I can't do it. I can't do it on my own. This I can't do it. This I can do it. But you see, this I is just forgiven. But there's no new thing here. It's just Jesus just loves me. But that creates a new I. Here's the new I. Here. Actually, this I is by faith, but this I is already in experience. This is an experience I. This is a faith I. But both my new I. This is my old I. Now my old I is forgiven, and I'm given a new I, which now begins to work. And the more I see my old I die, I build up my new I by looking at Jesus. That's why the Holy Spirit reveals Him. Then I crucify my old I, I'm forgiven, and then my new I is released.